Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us, and I'm really excited about my guest today is someone who's been with us before, has a wealth of knowledge about all types of financial topics. He is Rick McBaron from SageMark Consulting, and Rick is a certified financial planner, and he works with his clients to create a plan and a path that enables them to accomplish their important financial dreams and goals. Now, today we're planning on talking about capitalizing on your success as a matter of choice, not chance. Rick, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Bill, it's nice to be with you, and it's good to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours, Rick. Tell us how are things going, and tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. So my background is I've been in financial services for the past 34 years. My, oh my, time does fly. Part of my background is long ago I practiced law, specifically tax law, and I am a certified financial planner. And as you were mentioning, what I do for a living is I charge my clients fees to go through financial planning engagements, and it's comprehensive financial planning. And again, as you mentioned, the idea is to set up a plan and a path so that my clients can accomplish their important financial goals and objectives.
Great. Hey, Rick, you've been at this, like you said, longer than you like to admit. and how have you seen people's goals change with regards to their timelines for how long they may be retired based on the aging demographics and the changes of lengths of life?
Yeah, there are actually a couple of, that's a good question, Bill. There are a couple of components to it. The first of which is that, yes, life expectancies have certainly increased. So, you know, we're building that into our projections and our discussions. But the other thing that I've really noticed change over time is that my clients are the owners of closely held companies, by and large. That's 90% of my client base. And very few of them intend to retire the way my father retired. You know, for my father, age 65, he was done. That's not what my clients intend to do. They, you know, some of them will keep their company but work less. Some of them will sell their company, but then, you know, they'll buy a new company sort of thing. So that's the biggest dynamic I've seen. The biggest change is, again, not the traditional definition of retirement, but now it's doing very productive things after the company is sold.
So, you know, there's a saying out there that 65 is the new 55. You've heard this one?
Yes.
Right? And 75 is the new 65, but 80 is still 80. Now, but so a lot of people that are reaching these milestone ages, it used to be the end of the working life cycle as we knew it. What you're saying is they're looking around going, I feel great. I feel like, you know, like I did 10 years ago. It's not time to hang it up yet. Are they changing? Are they looking to create different management methods so they have more time back in their lives?
Yes. So the answer, you actually hit several important topics. Let me just make a couple of quick comments. So the first of which is part of how I look at this is when, again, someone sells their company or retires either fully or partially, initially it's go-go. And then, you know, 5 to 10 years later, it's slow go. And then 5 to 10 years after that, it's no go. And the reason why is, you know, physical infirmities have set in and so forth. Secondly, the second thing you touched on is that I have a number of clients who did exactly what you just suggested, which is, you know, they're working 70 hours a week at their company, if not more. They're tired, but they want to keep the company. So they're, you know, basically retooling and in many cases creating a management suite where they bring in people that they really trust to run their company so they can do other things with their lives. And, that, if you hire the right people, that strategy can really work out well.
So being able to delegate off the day-to-day operations as much as possible and bring in someone that they trust, is that mean out there that key employees are more important than ever? I mean, is there going to be this war for talent? It seems like if everybody's looking for successor management, it seems like key employees are going to be really in demand.
I could not agree with you more, especially at a high level. And one of the things I've seen in my clients is because, you know, my clients have niche businesses, right? So they tend to know other players within their niche. And when they get to the point where it's like, okay, I'm just exhausting myself, I need to bring in someone else to, you know, do a lot of the day-to-day running of the company and so on, oftentimes, Bill, they know that person. That person may be at another company, or maybe, you know, my business owner worked with him or her when they, you know, were employed by whomever in the past. But my point is, they oftentimes know who it is they want to hire. And because they're at the point where hiring that person is very important, I have one case where my client, and he knew he was doing it, he paid the person 25% above market to get them because he had so much faith in the person's talent and the ability to basically step in and effectively start running my client's company. And it did work out that way. The new person is terrific.
That's great. On that side of the story, of course, there's always two sides to a story. So on the other side of the story, what if you're the business owner that has that key employee? What should you be doing to prevent that person from getting picked off?
Yep. On the human being side, I think it's incredibly important to make sure that your people feel, you know, appreciated, that they have goals that they understand, and that when they achieve those goals, you really, you know, pat him or her on the back. Secondly, there's a tool you're aware of, Bill, called non-qualified deferred compensation. And I have a number of clients who have installed deferred compensation plans for their key employees, which give those key employees, in one case, a very significant financial incentive to stay until a particular point in time. And the executive is a she. If she's still with the company at that point in time, she gets a six-figure bonus for being there. If she's not there, not so much. So it gives her a really powerful financial incentive to stay with the company. But you ask a great question because it's a two-sided coin.
So important. It's so important today. And I just want to emphasize that for the listeners, that this is what's going to be happening is if you have a key employee, they may seem very happy, but if you haven't taken steps to engage them and show them how much you care above and beyond pay and given them a reason to stay, then they may get picked off. Right, Rick?
Absolutely. Yeah, and that I couldn't agree more with what you said, Bill, and that's the human side of it. And, you know, a lot of business owners are, you know, they're hard-driving and they're kind of bottom-line guys and gals, but that appreciating your key employee part as a human being, I think, is so important, and not in a disingenuous way, but in a sincere way. Again, making sure the person really understands they're valued, making sure that they understand that they're an important part of your future and you're relying on them. I think that is of critical importance. I really do.
Well, yeah, and part of that, I think, is that, tell me if you agree with this, but part of that is I think a lot of these key employees, as we're calling them, and the reason they're, by the way, I've heard the reason they're called the key employees is back in the day when it was butchers and bakers and candlestick makers, these were the people that were given the key to come in early. They were given the key to the business. Okay, so a little aside there. But a lot of them are reaching ages 40 to 50, and a lot of them are thinking about their next 10 years or 15 years and what's going to happen in their lives. And so they want to have a conversation and know that they have some kind of a stake and a place in your business. So do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's, again, that goes back to the idea of making sure that they understand just how important they are. There are, again, without getting way into details here, there are ways where you can financially incent them to stay with you through the sale. So, for example, there's something called a phantom stock plan where they have an interest, again, without getting way into details, they have a financial interest in seeing your company grow and being there for the at the date of sale. So two things, the emotional and feeling good about being part of your company side, very important. But secondly, financial incentives for the very reason you mentioned, Bill, and that is, you know, these key people are also starting to have the same thoughts about, okay, you know, at some point, maybe I want to do something different, and how's it going to work out for me financially?
Yeah, yeah. Now, if you're listening to this, you might want to ask Rick to come in and talk to those people for you, because a lot of times it can be an awkward conversation. But Rick, you're somebody that could come in and ask the people about, you know, what are your goals and dreams, and what does your future look like, and what do you hope to see as a result of this company? And you might find out things. They may tell you things that they wouldn't tell the owner of the company, and that can be turned into, like you said, you take that and get your smorgasbord of tools of dishes out and create just the right dish for this individual to keep them retained and involved in the business for long term.
Absolutely. And you know, without being too self-promotional here, I have first of all, he's a really good friend of mine. Secondly, he's a terrific business person that owns a very successful business down in South County. And he was reluctant to go through a financial planning process, but when he went through it, he saw what the benefits were. And as a result of personally going through the engagement, he paid for four of his employees, key employees, to also go through the same engagement process, because he found it to be just really empowering and liberating, and like, okay, now I know where I am. I know what I'm going to need to do. You know, Rick, my key guys and gals need to have that same knowledge. I think that'll make us much tighter as a team. And it, in fact, had that effect.
That's great. That's a great outcome. And that's the best you can hope for is, you know, you got to do what you got to do to try, but nothing's worse than watching your key employee get picked off by a competitor because you didn't do anything. So, Rick, let's turn the page on how do people determine these days when it's going to be possible for them to fully or partially retire? What's the target these days?
Yeah, so what we use is a three-step process, which is kind of boring, but it has a wonderful outcome. So very quickly, the three steps are, first of all, really get an understanding of what you have, what your assets are, what your cash flows are. I mean, really take the time to gather that information. Second step, determine what your time frames are. Do you want to have an option in 5 years to exit out fully or partially, and so forth? And then thirdly, there are mathematical ways in which you can test, if you know what your assets are, if you know what your time frames are, there are ways where you can test, will it work out? Okay, so in the happy outcome, you know, you do what I've just suggested, the three steps, and yep, it's going to work out fine. But what happens many times, Bill, is you look at the outcome of that mathematical analysis, and you know what? It's really not going to work out fine. What then happens is you have a really, really healthy process where it's like, okay, you know, maybe I need to work an extra 3 years beyond what I thought I was going to do. Maybe we need to cut back our expenses. Maybe we need to, you know, get our assets more productive. So the answer to your question is, again, that three-step process, you know, I understand, not all that exciting, but if you'll follow it, what my client just told me is, as a result of going through that process, it's enormously liberating, because now they know what hand they're dealing with, and more to the point, what they can do to, you know, have a successful retirement.
Yeah, I think it's the notion of going through another planning exercise that people are not thrilled with, but the outcome, when they can see that, it's got to be empowering for them, because it's such an unknown for so many people out there. Now, when people retire, Rick, you know, most people these days don't manage their own portfolios. So how do you manage the manager of your investment assets?
Yeah, that's another process, and let me just give you the 50,000 footer on it. So the first thing is you really need to understand yourself as an investor. So that comes down to, you know, going through a risk profile process. I personally think that most of the risk assessment processes out there really don't focus on the right thing. What you really need to do is understand yourself as an investor from the standpoint of, what are you going to do when we have another 2008 or something that looks like another 2008? And to quote Mike Tyson, everyone has a plan until I punch them in the face. So again, my criticism of most of the risk profiling tools out there is they kind of assume a sunny set of you know, circumstances, and I don't think that's what people need to understand about themselves. What they need to understand is, What are you going to do, again, when you get a significant market correction? Secondly, you now understand yourself as an investor, and that means that you can build out a portfolio. You can get the right asset allocation. It is so critical to have the right asset allocation. And most of the media doesn't even talk about asset allocation. 94% of expected return from a portfolio is a function of which of the asset classes the money's invested in. 3% comes from finding the right manager. 3% comes from finding the right stocks and bonds. What almost all the media focuses on is that back 6%, not all that important compared with getting your asset allocation right in the first place. And then the third and final step, Bill, is, okay, you understand yourself as an investor, you have the right asset allocation. Third step is stick with it over time. Yes, make some adjustments as market changes come along, but those adjustments should be prudent. They should be, you know, carefully analyzed. But if you stick with that asset allocation, you're going to be okay. If you have the manager of your money follow that three-step process and you work with him or her over time and check in and so forth, you're going to be okay.
Great advice. Great advice. I like the quote by Mike Tyson, too. Everybody has a plan until I punch him in the face. That's pretty powerful.
Isn't that good?
So, Rick, what's the key ingredient? Now, a lot of people are saying, you know, I've been successful. I want to do more with my life. I want to be remembered for something. I want to create a legacy. What's the key ingredient of creating a legacy that's significant and meaningful?
Okay. There are two components to that. Actually, there are a number of them, but for today, there are two. The first of which is, if you don't want your kids to do stuff with your money that's unfortunate after you have departed planet Earth, then take the time and teach them how to manage money, how to steward money. And Bill, I almost never see that being done. And one of the things my clients and I work on is a program that we've created where we actually teach that next generation how to effectively manage money. And also as part of that process, my clients inevitably also, you know, we'll talk with their children about charitable and how you benefit people who are less fortunate than yourselves. So that's step number one is, again, teach the children how to actually manage money after you're gone. Second thing is, in most cases, I'm in favor of leaving the inheritance you leave your children, leave it in a trust for their benefit. And in many cases, Bill, it's fine to have the child be the trustee of that trust, but what you'll find if you do that is you're providing the assets that you leave your children with protections from creditors, protections from divorcing spouses, protection from unnecessary taxation, and those protections are not available if you simply leave the inheritance to the children outright. So two steps. Step number one, teach the children how to manage money, including things like, you know, benefiting charities and so forth. Step number two, leave the inheritance for your children in a protected environment.
Great advice. You know, we hear that all the time. As a lot of people that we're talking with these days and talking to on the show here are they're getting ready to transform their wealth from what's a complex asset in a business to, if they do sell their business, to things that are easily attacked like cash and investments. And so heed that advice, set up the fortress, get it into the right kinds of trusts, and get in touch with Rick McBaron. Rick, how do they best get in touch with you to start a conversation?
Well, certainly the telephone works really well, 949-474-6748. And then my website is www.rickmcbaron.com. And there are, you know, links where people can send me emails and so forth.
I'm going to spell that out just for in case somebody listened and they're trying to write that down. It's R-I-C-K, Rick, M-A-C, Mac, Baron, Baron.com. And yeah, I'm sure they'd find a lot of information about you and your what you've done for clients and what you can do for them. But really, it starts with having a phone conversation, getting to know somebody, sitting down with Rick and saying, you know, tell me about you and what you can do for us, and let me tell you about my situation. So then you have a good, solid dialogue going, and you really can figure things out from there.
I agree.
Rick, you're a member of Provisors and Vistage, both great groups. Provisors is a huge networking group that gives you a lot of resources for your clients, and Vistage, which gives you insights into what it's like to be a business owner, what problems they're going through. So you're very well connected, and I really appreciate you coming on today. We covered a lot of ground.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity, and as always, it's good talking to you, Bill. Thanks a lot.
Same here, Rick. Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this, so please stay with us.
Business owners, if you came back from lunch and there was a resignation letter on your desk, which employee would you really, really not want it to be from? What are you doing to prevent this from happening? At Exit and Retirement Strategies, we design plans that attract, motivate, and retain key employees. For a free consultation, call Bill Black, the Exit Coach, at 866-370-3774. Call today.
Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.